turn this fancy thing on. Yeah, Lord, thank you. Oh yeah, I forgot to do something first. Yeah, I've never quite figured out when it says auto lock. If you turn auto lock off, the light won't go off. What's that got? Is that what it means? Automatic? Should have light. That's something about light you should have on there. That's confusing to me. But it doesn't take much in computers to be confusing to me, so I can live with that. The word I gave earlier about Leviathan, there's a lot more to that word as I was giving it. So we'll post it as rewards and send it out. But it's an interesting image from Revelation chapter 5 of a lamb slain with seven horns. Any animal that's got seven horns is a dangerous animal. And yet, that whole image of the lamb there who's worthy has such an idea of tenderness. And I believe that one of the things that's a real key to what God's doing on the earth is more and more revelation. The most dangerous animal in the world is the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. When you have you grow in your understanding of the love of God in the person of Jesus, you become very dangerous. The church becomes very dangerous. Alrighty, Donna, y'all just came back from some powerful intercessory thing, so don't you pray for me. Name? Bishop Jerk? That was really close to Jerk there, Donna. That's funny. Hope that wasn't prophetic. This is Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Well, I'll start in verse 4. And John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. Let me just give another word to you, a little word of knowledge. There's a few people out here, I just see it in the spirit, who are really struggling with just a lot of clutter in your brain, accusations. And with the accusations, a lot of critical stuff and judgments and things that you're making, it is really demonic. And it's not based in reality. Whatever it is, I don't know what it's about with you. Everybody look up at me. I want to make sure you're hearing me. Everybody look up at me. Some of you are being attacked. There's a few people here are being attacked by just a spirit of judgment and criticalness and accusation, even in you. Just a lot of clutter and confusion. You're coming to some conclusions, and they're inaccurate conclusions. They're from the devil, and it's to kill, steal, and to destroy. You're even flowing in things that you think you've observed or obvious. I'm not talking about criticalness in the church, but just I think it's relational. I'm not sure. I don't know. But your observations are wrong. God's giving you a chance to repent right now, because if you don't, it's just going to get worse and worse. And just like the Holy Spirit bears good fruit, the demonic spirits bear terrible fruit. All righty? So that's just a little pastoral word for you. In verse 5 of chapter 1 is a fascinating verse to me. And I'm going to say some things to you that aren't unfamiliar. They're not unfamiliar, but I'm going to coin them in a little bit different language. And this is a foundational word that I think is a really important one. Francis Pranjapan, in one of his books years ago, wrote this, and I believe it to be true with all my heart. He says, when we get towards the end of the age, the most important revelation, the most significant revelation that's going to be in the body of Christ is who you are in Christ and Christ who he is in you. And we've talked about that a lot lately. And I believe that with all my heart. When I discovered that again the other day, that he had said that, it just blessed me, but also it was profound to me, because This was 20 years ago he probably wrote that. That the most important revelation on the earth today, as we move closer to the last days, in these last days, however long the last days last, we've kind of been in the last days since Pentecost, but we're getting closer to the last of the last days for sure. And that is a revelation in the church of Christ in them and them in Christ. So I'm going to talk about that again today, but I'm going to use a little bit of different language because we can sometimes read different things or hear different things and then get confused about them being separate things, and really this is the same thing. And you'll hear this phraseology a lot, maybe even a lot more than what I just said about you and Christ and Christ in you. And I want us to understand what this is all about. And when it says that Jesus was a faithful witness, what in the world does that mean? He was a faithful witness. Again, as man, Jesus was a faithful witness. John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time, but Jesus has revealed him. And Jesus faithfully revealed so that people realize the presence and the reality and the truth about God the Father. It says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. And he, Jesus, is the radiance of his, the Father's, glory. You understand, it doesn't say that Jesus revealed the radiance of his own glory. Jesus revealed the radiance of his Father's glory. Now, the word radiance is an interesting word. It just means brightness from, kind of what we would think shine from. Jesus was the radiance of the Father's glory. And Jesus said in John 20, verse 21, as the Father sent me, this is not new stuff to us, these verses, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Jesus came to carry and release the glory of his Father. That's what it says here. That he is the radiance of his, the Father's glory. Not his own glory, but the glory of his Father. And as the Father sent him, so he sent us. You and I were created, and in our new birth, restored to our original purpose. And now hear me. There's a lot of purposes, a lot of things that we do in the kingdom. You know, to win the lost, to do this, to do that. Those are all glorious purposes. But this is the purpose for which you were born again. It's very clear in Scripture. And we can't get past that. If we make other purposes our primary goal, you're going to get out of shape. It's going to get messed up for you. You'll stop pursuing things and making idols out of things that are good. Our primary purpose, for which everything else flows, is that we would carry and release the glory of the Lord Jesus. As the Father sent him, so Jesus sends us. He said he was the author and perfecter of faith, and he was our example. And he came to carry and release the radiance. Look what it says again. And he is. He didn't just do. He was the radiance of his Father's glory. He carried that in him. That was mingled into his primary identity. And from that place, it was radiated out from. You and I were created to carry and to release the glory of Jesus. Now, here's a question. What is glory? Because we hear people talk about it all the time. You can feel glory. You can sense glory. You kind of know when you're in the glory. And therefore, whenever we talk about glory as not just a stagnant reality, we usually talk about something we've entered into that's affected us in the sense realm of God. It's been said, and I believe this is true, that glory is the beauty of God unveiled. It's the beauty of God. All those things about Him, all those attributes that makes Him so holy, so other, so beautiful. It's the holiness, the beauty of God unveiled. But I think another way of saying it, so it's a little more practical, the glory of God would be the presence of the Lord and all that that contains. And the presence of the Lord and all that the presence of the Lord carries. That means holiness, it means power to heal, it means love, it means all the stuff you can think of. The presence of God and all that His presence carries. Being experienced in the sense realm. The glory of God. When we encounter God's glory. In heaven, it's just being released all the time. But when God's glory is realized in the sense realm, that's that when God's beauty is realized in the sense realm, that's the glory of God. Now here's the cool thing. You carry that in you, just as Jesus carried that in Him. You carry that in you so that you can live. You really can live in your own personal life. If you're in a room all by yourself, you can live in the sense realm of His presence and all that His presence carries. But our responsibility in the world is to so steward that glory in us. So carry that in such a way that it's released. And when God's glory is released, it does all kinds of stuff. Because it's not just His presence, it's all that His presence carries in that particular situation, in that particular moment. Therefore, again, our true purpose, hear me again, our true purpose, I'm really adamant about this, I don't think there are any other options. Well, that's a good word, Chuck. I got another word. No, you don't. Because the Bible makes this really clear. This isn't Chuck's word. It's what the body of Christ has been saying for 2,000 years. God's not looking for any novelties. It's the truth that sets us free. Your true ultimate purpose, therefore your great priority, is to know how to deal with this, how to handle this, how to be responsible for this in your own personal life. Our true purpose is to carry and to release His glory, His life, His presence. Just another way of talking about God being inside of you. You're in Him, He's in you. Let me read a couple of cool verses. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. And it was for this He called you through our gospel. Here's again. It was for this that He called you through our gospel, that you might gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was for this that you were called. This is why the gospel was given you, so that you would gain the glory of Jesus. That you would obtain, that's another way of saying that word, you would obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus. This verse we've looked at a bunch lately. Romans chapter 8. Now I know that I don't know what kind of anointed speaker I am. I know I'm a weary anointed speaker if I'm anointed at all this morning. And so I know that we're sort of a soft, we're becoming great worshipers, but we're quiet kind of people. I hope that on the inside there's something in you that's running around going, yippee, yippee, and jumping up and down. Because this is the most important thing you'll ever get down inside of you. Just imagine that you're created to live in the realm and release the manifest beauty of God, the manifest presence and all that contains. That's who you are. You wake every morning with that purpose. Whatever else is going on inside of you, whatever else is happening outside of you, if you wake up to the worst kind of news in the natural that you could ever imagine, there's something still true. You contain the presence of the Lord and all that that presence contains, and that's yours. To be experienced in your sense realm. And that whatever situation you walk into, even if it's the most disappointing, tragic, dark kind of environment, you carry that with you and release that into that environment. It changes everything.
Amen.
That's why it says Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hear what I'm saying. Turn me up, Rich. I don't feel like I'm loud enough. You may think I'm loud enough, but turn me up a little bit. Thank you, son. Because I don't have to yell that way. I'm too tired to yell. Here's the thing. Well, you can turn it down a little bit from there. Thank you. I don't want to have a louder voice than God. I would give a bunch of money if I had the volume that Mark has and Andrew has and some of y'all. It'd be so nice to see, they could preach to any generation throughout all history. I had to wait for microphones to come because of Lord Mayor to preach. It doesn't matter, again, what's going on inside your life in terms of circumstances and situations. We can wake up tomorrow and find out once again the whole stock market has crashed. You got hope. You get to live in hope. Because Christ in you is the hope of glory.
Amen.
And the glory of God is the most precious thing in your life. It's more precious than your kids. It's more precious than your marriage. It's more precious than your money. It's more precious than your possession. It's more precious than your status. It's more precious than your ministry. And how big your ministry is written. If you ever get a big ministry and you wake up the next day and there's a scandal, it's all lies, your ministry's done, you got hope still. Because the most important thing in your life that brings the greatest joy, that changes everything on the inside and out, is the glory of God in you in the person of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Romans chapter 8 again says this, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good, and we'll see this more next week. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined. Again, you have a predestiny. This is your predestiny. Therefore, if this is your destiny, you need to be pursuing your destiny as the number one chief thing you are pursuing. I've been in ministry now for a long time, almost 40 years. You don't pursue ministry as your ultimate purpose. I don't care how powerful it is, how magnificent it is, how extraordinary it is, how famous it is. You don't pursue ministry. You don't pursue ministry. Let's say it again. You don't pursue ministry. You're a worshiper before you are a witnesser. I don't know if witnesser is a word, but it fit. I just made it one. That's right. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's outside stuff. Transformation is inside out. The word conformation means outward behavior. What happens on the outside? You and I were created to release, to be the radiance of His glory. You're created to be Christ-like. You're created to carry and release the presence of the Lord and all that presence contains, the glory of God, all the beauty of the Lord that lives inside of you, you're to carry and enjoy and experience in relationship with Him and release. And not only does it give you hope, it gives everything around you hope. Colossians chapter 3. This is a familiar one, huh? Colossians chapter 3. Says this. Let's start with verse 1. If then you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. So you don't primarily seek the things on the earth, even ministry. You seek those things which are above, where Christ is. In other words, you're seeking Him. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Because let me just tell you something. It says about this in Matthew 6. If you set your mind on things of the earth, if that's your hope, even in family, even in your children being totally successful, things going great for them, you know, them getting a great date for the prom or whatever. He said, you set your hope, set your heart, set your affections on things above. For you have died. Your life is hidden with Christ and God. You in Christ, Christ in you. And when Christ was our life, you in Christ, hidden in Christ, and Christ is our life, Christ in you. Now, when Christ is your life is revealed, as He's released, as the glory is released, then you will be revealed with Him. How? In glory. In glory. Now, again, the word when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, that's not talking about the second coming. That's talking about you being a carrier of the glory of God, and you being the radiance of His glory. And as Christ Himself is allowed to manifest His glory in you, as you realize His glory in you, His unveiled beauty to you, as you pursue Him, and all that He has in you is just unpacked in you and your own humanity, it's affecting your emotions and your thought life, your choices, and all those things, then it comes forth from you as His glory is being revealed. You're just living in the realm of the glory of God. That's awesome. And He said, now, when Christ, as your life is revealed, you'll be revealed with Him in success. So it says. When Christ, as your life is revealed, you'll be revealed with Him in anointing. That's not what it says. When Christ is revealed in you, you will be revealed with Him in bigger ministry. That's not what it says. When Christ is revealed, you'll be revealed with Him in glory. And all the other stuff, all the aspects that comes with His glory will find its way. There'll be ministry, there'll be healing, there'll be influence, there'll be impact. But when Christ, who is your life, if you live your life, this is what these verses say again. For you have died, the old life, didn't contain glory. And when you have died in your life is hidden with Christ in God. As you seek Him, as you pursue His glory that lives in you, that's with you, as you seek His presence, you'll discover you, the real you, because you were created in Adam to contain and release His glory. It says, then when Christ as your life is revealed, you'll be revealed with Him in glory. Then we'll do this a little bit and we'll stop. Okay? Look in John chapter 17. I think Mike Hutchins read these verses. I want to show them to you again. And hear what it says. Now, when you look in John 17, he talks about being one. He's not talking about unity in the body of Christ. That's a misunderstood interpretation of this passage. He's talking about our growing in union with Him. That's the whole story of the Upper Room Discourse. Our growing in union with Him. Our participating and mingling in His glory. I'm in Him. He's in me. He's been talking about in John 14 three different times. John 10 one time. He's in the Father. The Father's in Him. That's the oneness He's talking about here. Okay? Verse 20, I do not ask on their behalf alone, talking about the disciples with Him, but for those also who believe in Me through their word, that they may all be one, even Father, as you art in Me and I am in you. He's talking about mingling, union, Him and Christ, Him and the Father and Him. Hear it again. That they may be one, Father, in union, living union, even as Thou, Father, art in Me and I in you. He and the Father didn't need to grow in unity. They'd been pretty much in unity from forever. He's talking about in His humanity, oneness. As you are in Me and I'm in you, and they also may be in us, that the world may believe that You did send Me. Lord, I want the whole world, when they encounter one of these people, to know that You sent Me and I'm still on the earth. And the glory which You have given Me, I have given to them. Listen to these words. That they may be one. Just as we are one, I in them, Thou in Me. You get it? I in them, You in Me. They would grow in union, just like we're one. You in Me, Me in them. Lord, the glory that You've given Me, You in Me, I've given to them. Me in them. That's what He's saying here. What's the glory? Again, and the glory which You've given Me, I have given to them. He's given you His glory. It's the same glory that Jesus had as the Father lived in Him. The same glory that Jesus is robed in heaven. He's the same Jesus on earth, and He lives that in you. The same Father who was robed in glory in heaven lived in Jesus with the same glory. And therefore, Jesus was able to be the radiance of the Father's glory. Because He knew how to steward, how to be responsible, how to handle that glory. Limitless. His life was limitless as the Son of Man. Hear me. His life was limitless because as the Son of Man, He carried the glory of the Father. The same glory, Father, You've given me, I've given them. Your life is as limitless as His because you contain, He said, I've given you the same glory. I must not be saying that really right. Hear me. And the glory which Thou hast given me, I have given to them.
Wow.
Do you understand? You're going to look at the life of Christ and see all the cool manifestations of the glory of the Father. The same glory that He was given, you've been given. You got the same stuff. You know, double stuffing. Double stuff Oreos are better than single stuff Oreos. Now there's one bigger than double stuff. What's it called? Mega stuff. I'm like, they're going to rent Oreos like this big. It's got 2 pounds of cream stuff. We're like mega stuffed Oreos. We're not just double stuff. We're mega stuff. Jesus was mega stuff with the glory of God. You are mega stuff with the glory of God. And the only thing that hinders you from doing the works, Jesus said, the works that I do, you'll do even greater. So we got the stuff. It's about stewarding the stuff. Realizing the stuff and walking the stuff. Which we'll talk about next week.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Are we not being Ustreamed?
We're on. We're on.
Do you know how to turn it off?
Yes, sir.
Then you do that, please.